and get on with the lesson. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the sword of the Spirit, this wonderful and beloved and eternal word of God. But I pray this morning that we would just really come to understand even better and recognize the power and the authority that the word of God holds and has for us. Lord, I pray then that we would use what it can mean to us, that we would utilize that in our daily battle against our flesh and against the evil and temptations that come our way. So, Lord, I pray that we would just decide this morning to even be more faithful in studying the Word of God and learn to use it in our battles as we fight any daily struggles we might have. So we thank you for the challenge of that. We thank you for the promise of that. And Lord, I just thank you again for all that come out this morning to hear from you, not from me. Help me get out of the way and just share your truths with your people. Ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Be seated. So the sword of the Spirit, I know even as I did my last bit of preparation this morning, I just kind of had a fun little thing come to mind that maybe is obvious to all you, but you have to stay to the end to hear about it. So just a little advertisement for the surprise ending. It was a surprise to me anyway. But the lesson starts with an illustration. It says, when a preacher's car broke down on a country road, he walked to a nearby roadhouse to use the phone. After calling for a tow truck, he spotted an old friend, Frank. He was drunk and shabbily dressed, staggering out of a bar. What happened to you, Frank? Asked the good pastor. You used to be rich. Frank told a sad tale of bad investments and bad habits that had led to his downfall. Go home, the preacher said. Open your Bible at random, stick your finger on the page, and there will be God's answer. Sometime later, the preacher bumped into Frank, who was wearing a Gucci suit, sporting a Rolex watch, stepping out of a Mercedes-Benz. Frank, said the preacher, I'm glad to see things have turned around for you. Yes, preacher, I owe it all to you, said Frank. I went home, opened my Bible, put my finger down on the page, and there was the answer. Chapter 11. Took a while for that to even sink into me. Chapter 11 is, of course, the bankruptcy thing. And unfortunately, I've known some people that have kind of done this very thing and used some of the bankruptcy laws to recover. I think Frank was maybe a little misguided on what God's word wanted to do. But, God does intend his word to be useful in our lives. And, it doesn't say that we can use it to live beyond our means. Amen? That's kind of what results in bankruptcy sometimes. But this whole lesson has been about discovering how to live beyond our capacity. And not monetary capacity, but living beyond our physical capacity and spiritual capacity. The Bible is central in all that. It is the Holy Spirit's primary weapon in winning the daily battle. We talked about that last week, that the Holy Spirit's main weapon is the Word of God. The Word of God is a sword in the Spirit's hands. I like the picture of that. If we don't use our Bible, if we don't have it in our hands, it kind of limits the Holy Spirit. Now, I know theologically you can say there are no limits, but it limits it with how we avail ourselves of that. And I thought about that a little bit, and as I meditated on this, Even if you're not in the Word or using the Word, we have consciences, right? And I think it's easy without the Word of God for discernment, we can confuse our conscience with our feelings, you know? And I think what we need to do is judge our feelings or what we think our conscience is telling us against the Word of God. If, you know, think, well, I feel like that's okay, you know? But, and you can say, well, you know, in my conscience, I feel that's okay. But is it really? Does that measure up to the truth of God's Word? And I think, fortunately, as we'll talk about, I think we can train those two to link up better. Some things are, you know, the conscience is a valid thing. The Holy Spirit, I think, will, you know, kind of prick our consciences sometime and say, you know, I shouldn't have done that or I shouldn't do that. But we got to be careful if we go too far with that. There is a difference between the Holy Spirit guiding our conscience than ourselves guiding our conscience. And hopefully we'll discern a little more of that today. So again, Ephesians 6:17 that we just read said, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." So it defines for us the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Very clear. And you know, I was thinking of that too. You know, the helmet of salvation, very important. You know, you watch an NFL game. You know, how many of you would like to get on the line in an NFL game without a helmet? You know, and you think about, well, that helmet is basically salvation. If I got out there and hit one of those 350-pound defensive linemen without a helmet, I'd be dead, literally. And, you know, so that protection of that salvation that God gave us. But the sword of the Spirit is a little different. It shows more going on the offense, okay? So, Roman numeral 1. There in your workbook is the power of the sword. The power. The word sword refers to a weapon of war. This word would have been a powerful metaphor for the Christians at Ephesus when they received this letter from the Apostle Paul. They would have seen swords often in the possession of Roman centurions who were ruling this region of the Roman Empire. History records some interesting facts about, and the Roman word was the gladius, hence the gladiators, okay? That's a Latin word for the sword of the Roman soldier. In other words, they held the gladius. And of course, the gladiators, we've all seen the pictures of them, you know, fighting each other with swords and shields in the Colosseum. But back then, and even today, the sword is a symbol of power and authority. It's a symbol. You know, we still see it in our military, you know, and they hold those swords up, and, you know, in the movies, we like the ring of the sword when they pull it out. You know, it's an impressive thing. Even today, 2,000-some years later, it's a symbol of power and authority. It was carried by those in authority and held the weight of justice and rule. It was a symbol of power and strength. Even so, the Word of God is powerful, and it represents the authority and strength of Almighty God. It is the highest authority with which we can enter a spiritual battle, that sword that we can carry. Hebrews 1:3 speaks of Jesus and the power of God's Word, there in your workbook, Hebrews 1:3. "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power," or the sword of the Spirit, "upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Again, just the ultimate symbol of that power and authority. And letter B, the sword is an offensive weapon. It's offensive. You go on the offense if you have a sword. It was to be used to attack an enemy and to penetrate opposition. It was not designed for retreat. You know, you don't see people running trying to swing the sword behind them. Amen. That wouldn't work very well. But it was for engagement. When they were engaged in the battle, they had their swords. Likewise, the word of God is to be used as an instrument of aggression and assault against our spiritual enemy. We want to use the sword of the Spirit in our spiritual enemy. James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's a wonderful promise. When we resist him and we use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, the Bible promises he will flee from us. And isn't it nice to have a picture to have the Satan, a powerful being, fleeing from us? You know, if you can just grasp the true picture of that, of him running away from us because we're a little too powerful with the sword that we have. You know, in fact, Matthew 4 speaks of is the temptations of Jesus Christ in the wilderness. And what did he always say to Satan in the three temptations? He said, "Get thee hence, Satan, it is written." You know, he quoted scripture even back in his temptations in the desert with chasing him away. "Get thee hence, get away, Satan, it is written." And Satan had to obey. Beautiful picture of being on the offense with our weapon that he's given us. Letter C, the sword is a one-on-one weapon. You know, there's always the great battles you see nowadays and the lightsaber swords, you know, and they can fight off several. But, you know, how many of us would want to fight a whole crowd with just a sword? One-on-one, we could probably be more effective, you know. And it's a one-on-one weapon. It's designed for close combat. You know, you got to be pretty close to it. And we're close in our battles. Amen. They can get real close to us. This was not a weapon of mass assault or destruction, but rather one used in personal conflict. The Word of God is the Holy Spirit's weapon in your personal daily battle of the flesh against the Spirit. Something we can use daily, and we should, in that close combat that we face. And the sword is a piercing weapon. Piercing. It was designed to penetrate the enemy. You know, and you read stories of it, you know, even when they have the armor, they find a kink in the armor or something, or maybe sharp enough to even pierce through the armor. But it's got to get through that to be effective. And the sword's a beautiful picture of that, of being able to pierce through and to thrust toward the enemy and to fend off their attack. You know, after all, we're trying to get them to flee us. It was used to place the enemy in a defensive posture or to cause the enemy to retreat. Even so, the Word of God is designed to be used decisively in spiritual battle. You know, all these indestructible swords and stuff you see in the movies, and you know the King Arthur sword, pulling it out, you know, couldn't destroy it. Praise God! You know, a lot of those movies are based on biblical truths. You know, they just use the pictures of it. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God, again, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, can help us discern the proper thoughts, kind of like I was talking about, the difference between feelings and true conscience. You know, it'll help us discern that if we use it. Have a little, if it all worked right, a little video here to share with you. Oh, I don't know if, I forgot to check with you. Is that a separate video we have up there? Let me see. Yeah, it must be. Huh. Oh, sorry. Oh, there is Nate. Do we have a little video there, Nate? Okay. Sorry, I can't hear them. Okay, sorry. Anyway, there's a little video of the duel, fencing duel, except they had real long, sharp swords. And it's just impressive to see how quick and reflective and how powerful, you know, a sword battle can actually be. And anyway, if you just get that picture, you've seen, you know, any of those sports channels sometimes, the fencing duel. And it's just kind of fun to watch the skill and, you know, how precise they have to be with those sabers and the sword. And, oh, here we go.
Yours.
Oh, slow motion. I mean, I wouldn't even want to try to play with that and those swords. Okay. Those things, you know, they could do some damage, amen? But that's the idea of the Word of God. It, you know, keep them on the defensive and off balance and ourselves. He knows how they keep their balance and just all those things that help with it. Well, obviously to do that or even to be able to shoot that kind of video, the letter E, the sword is a weapon that requires practice. Requires practice. it was a skill to be learned, you know, and even those Roman centurions, you know, they were grown up, you know, and I'm sure the movies are correct. You know, they start with wooden swords and, you know, and that's a skill they developed through the years. You know, David's men practiced and practiced with to become skillful. Well, it's the same way with the Word of God. The longer a soldier trained and practiced, the better he became at handling his sword. Winning with the sword required knowledge, skill, and practice. In like manner, we are commanded to study God's Word, to search out the Scriptures, that we might become skillful in spiritual battle. 2 Timothy 2:15, there in your book. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. No, it just doesn't say that's given to us. I wish it was, but it says to study. Study and work at that. Be a workman with the Word of God. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. In other words, whatever you hear, whatever you might hear from us or some other book or something, search the Scriptures and judge things against that. Search it daily to make sure it was so. That's the way it is. How well we learn to use the sword of the Spirit will determine our success in daily spiritual battle. Read that one more time. How well we learn to use the sword of the Spirit will determine our success in our daily spiritual battle. The more we learn about it, the more we use it, the more we practice it, our daily battles will go better. Not, they won't go away, but maybe we can overcome them much quicker and sooner. So, Roman numeral 2 is the use of the sword. The use. God, by His Spirit, brings old truth home to the heart. The quote there in your Bible from Charles Spurgeon. God, by His Spirit, brings old truth home to the heart, gives new light to our eyes, and causes the Word to exercise new power over us. But He reveals no new facts, and He utters no words in any man's ears concerning his condition and state. We must be content with old revelation and with the life and power and force with which the Holy Spirit brings it to the heart. Neither must any of us seek to have any additional revelation, for that would imply that the Scriptures are incomplete. And you think, well, you know, so you got to separate that a little bit. I mean, totally agree with that. You know, in Revelation, there's a warning not to add anything to the book. And you read so many authors that are having this new revelation or this new thing that's coming out, and we need to guard against that. That's not to say that some new things aren't revealed to us. My goodness, it's one of the reasons I love Josh's preaching is because it's like he reveals some truth in the Word, but that's the key. It's in the Word. It's already been written. He shared a couple weeks ago about, you know, something written 4,000 years ago, some of it, and then 2,000 years ago, and yet it's like it was written to me yesterday. You know, and only the Word of God can do that. And just that it just so powerful to, that things can still be learned from us daily and shown to us. And the new insights, and those come to Him from the Holy Spirit. You know, He studies, obviously, and works hard, but the Holy Spirit, you know, gives to Him these certain truths to share with us. And we can then do the same thing. We get those truths, and we put them into effect into our lives, hopefully. And the key is, and we've heard this even out in visitation, they come here because we teach the Word. You know, everything's based on the Word of God. It's not out of the latest fad magazine or book that somebody's written. You know, some of that can be informative, but it's not the Word of God. Word hasn't changed in a long time. You know, God's revelation and His Word of God is complete. It says it's complete. We can stand and trust on that. Anybody tells you they're adding to it, you want to flee. Get out the true sword of spirit and defend ourselves and attack them. Too often we are weak and ineffective in the daily spiritual battle because we simply don't understand how the Holy Spirit desires to use His written word to give us victory. It's written and it helps give us victory there in your book, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Word of God is given to us, can complete for all those things. Consider how the Holy Spirit makes God's Word profitable in our lives. First, letter A, the Word of God was inspired by the Spirit. It was inspired by the Spirit. Every word in the Bible is given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. It's a vital part of the Christian life, and it is relevant and needed for every aspect of our lives. And it's just so critical that we grasp that thought. You know, we believe, we'll, you know, all of us here would say this is the inspired Word of God. And but then to just understand, that means it's relevant to us today, and it's meant for us today. And for every aspect of our lives, we have that. And so it's not good to say, well, I don't feel like that today. You know, it's the Word of God always and forever and each day. 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It was the authority of the written word as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And Acts 1:16, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Centuries before, David had prophesied and written psalms about the very thing that happened. The Word of God is true and prophesied that and let people know. So it had to happen. I like that. Must have been fulfilled. It was like there's no alternative. You know, they weren't going to change history no matter what they did. God's Word was going to be true. And then letter B, the Word of God is explained by the Spirit. It's explained. You know, sometimes we need a little more explanation. Amen? And again, it's kind of... that's why we come and sit in Sunday school or come to the service to maybe get some explanation on some things. And again, even that is confirmed in us by the Holy Spirit. You know, I can give you some what I think might be true. If it's I thinking that, you can say, oh, that doesn't sound right. Or if it does, I just think the Holy Spirit gives us a peace. That's what I find. If he says something kind of new thought to me, but it's right there out of the Word of God, it's my spirit confirming with the Holy Spirit that it's true. And it's going, wow, I never saw that before, but that is such a great thought. That is such a, it just so much makes sense spiritually. And, you know, that's just a wonderful thing that our spirit communing with the Holy Spirit of God to confirm the Word of God and help explain those things to us. There in your book, 1 Corinthians 2:9-13, it's explained with great clarity. It says, but as it is written, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. In other words, we can't even imagine what he has for us. You know, we sing that song about mansions and glory, but we really can't even picture it. Wow. You know, we can imagine the greatest mansions we've seen, you know, here on earth, and here little old us is going to get something even better. You know, where the asphalt is gold. I mean, it just, you know, it sounds neat, but I really can't picture what that is going to be like. Continues there in verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? In other words, we think like a man, we think like a woman, you know, that's kind of how we relate to stuff. That's our flesh. It says, even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. The Spirit knows the Spirit. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth us, comparing the spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, some of those things just makes, after we're Christians and the Holy Spirit helps us when we hear a good explanation or we read something and it just comes to us that, boy, that's true. That's really neat. You know, and we wonder why our unsaved neighbors or coworkers don't get that. Well, because they don't have the Spirit of God helping to explain that and shed light on it. And I think if you kind of be more aware of that as you go through life, you'll notice more and more instances of that. You certainly see it in the world today. And it drives me wild because they don't get it. You know, they can lie and cheat and steal, and they don't get it that that's wrong. And it's just so obvious to us that have the truth. Anyway, you know, it could be a whole political thing. Another quote. I like this quote from Don Lyon. If you have the Spirit without the Word, you blow up. Kind of like, you know, what do you do with it? I got the Spirit, but you don't know what to do. You blow up. If you have the Word without the Spirit, you dry up. I like that. You know, and again, you know, anybody can read the Word. They might have the Word, and they might read it. But if they don't have the Spirit, they don't get it, or they criticize it, all kinds of stuff. They dry up. If you have both the Word and the Spirit, you grow up. I like that. We continue to grow when we have both. The Spirit wants us to grow in Him. We have the Spirit guiding us, and we have the Word of God. We can grow up. Roman numeral 3, handling the sword. Handling the sword. When it comes to winning the daily battle of the Christian life, every child of God has been given two exceedingly powerful resources, the Holy Spirit of God and the inspired Word of God. Two great resources. We've got the Word, we've got the Holy Spirit. Daily victory is well within the reach of every Christian. Yes, the Christian life is impossible to live by human strength, but God calls us to live beyond our capacity. We can live beyond our human strength. And to make such a thing possible, He places His Spirit within us and His Word before us. I like that. The Spirit's in us, the Word's before us. We have two things we need to fight our daily battles. The problem is not that victory is elusive or difficult. The problem is not that we are weak and our flesh is strong. The problem is not that the devil is cunning and that temptation is forceful. All those things are true, but that's not the real problem. The problem is that our Bibles are unread, unused, unstudied, and the Holy Spirit is ignored and unwelcome. Wow. It's kind of a wake-up call. And yeah, well, I got all that. I got it. But is my Bible unread and unused? Am I not listening to the Holy Spirit? It's a little more personal. You know, we're in that one-on-one combat. That's the real problem. Are we standing on the Word of God, and are we practicing with it? At our fingertips, we have the explosive power of the very Word of God. I like that picture too, explosive. He spoke and the world existed. That's pretty explosive. You know, they talk about the Big Bang Theory. Hello. You know, boom, it's created. Man. Now, they have no idea what the Lord did when He did creation. And one breath away, we have the all-powerful Spirit of God. Yet for love of sin and the flesh, we hold them both at bay, forbidding the power of God to truly work in our lives. You know, sometimes we just kind of want to keep our distance for whatever reason. We resist the Holy Spirit. We resist the Word of God. We lose our battles not because we cannot win, but because we will not. Wow, that's so true. You know, you hear often, you know, well, I can't do it. And there's truth in that. I can't do it. But it can, that could probably switch to saying I won't do it because we have the tools to do it. We said, yeah, I can do that if God helps me or when God helps me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it's just not words you want to say is I can't do it. Or God made me like this. We talked about that last week. You know, God wants victory in our lives, and He's given us the tools we need to have that victory. Imagine if David had not slung the stone, or if Joshua had not led the march around Jericho. Imagine if Noah had not boarded the ark, or Gideon had not blown the trumpet. Imagine if Peter had not thrown out the net, or if Naaman had not dipped for the seventh time. I had to look that one up. That one didn't come right, ring a bell. It's in 2 Kings 5. It's a great story. The king, Naaman, was a king, rich and everybody, but he had leprosy. And Elijah told him how to heal, and he had to go bathe himself, dip seven times in the river to get clean. And so if he hadn't done it, he wouldn't have. It's a great story because it goes on that Elijah wouldn't accept any payment. And, you know, the king was grateful, but an evil servant of Elijah ran after him and said, hey, how about a couple silver shekels? Because, you know, he cured it. So the king gave it to him, went back and said, hey, Elijah, I chased him down, got a couple. What happened? He gave his servant the leprosy from Naaman. It's a fascinating story. Be careful what you do. Chapter 11, I guess. Look out. So imagine if Daniel had not tested the prince or the eunuchs, or if Elijah had not called on God. You know, all pretty quick and simple things all these men did. You know, but they relied on the Holy Spirit and they did do it. All throughout Scripture, we see God's people by faith using the power He places before them. And as a result, God brings victory. In order for the Word of God to make a difference, we must practice its use. A quote there from D.L. Moody, a Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who is not. I like that. You got a fresh, clean, pristine Bible that's never been opened, you're probably having more troubles than most people. You know, got to be in the Word and the dog-eared and the dirt and all the great things, you know. Open the Bible. Practically speaking, I believe there are six simple ways you can learn to use the sword of the Spirit to live in victory in your daily life. Letter A, you desire the Word. We have to desire the Word. A growing Christian will have a natural and growing hunger to know more of His truth. We want to know what it says. 1 Peter 2:2, there in your book. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. And my goodness, you know, I've been reading for, 40 years now, and I still feel like I'm learning. And then part of that's, you know, my desire is to keep learning. And we need that desire to do that. Letter B, we need to study the Word. We need to just study it. Just having it and kind of reading it haphazardly, while better than nothing, is not the correct way to do it. We are commanded to personally dig into God's Word and to learn it. In your book, 2 Timothy 2:15, again, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. using that sword to divide the word of truth. And then letter C, we need to memorize the word. Daily or weekly, choose a portion of scripture to memorize. We should be placing it in our heart, just as Psalm 119, 11, and 12 there in your book say, "Thy word I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." It'll come back to mind just when you need it. "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." Teach them to me, Lord. Show me, help me learn it and study it and memorize it. And then letter D, hear the word. Hear the word. After all, that's why you're all here this morning. Amen. You want to hear the word. You don't want to hear from Elder Don. You want to know what the word has to say. You know, and glad to have you come. It's not just the donut holes that bring you here, I hope. You know, some people, I wonder, you know, it's even me. Okay, well, I don't want to miss the donut hole. But we come to hear the word of God, and that's what we want to do. Get before the regular teaching and preaching of God's truth in a local church. Again, preaching to the choir, but it's so true. And then we can turn away from pop psychology and avail yourselves of solid Bible teaching and preaching. I've seen that help a whole lot more people than some psychiatrist or some self-help book. And you know, there's a plethora of those out there. And you know, then you go from one to one. I've seen different ones come and go for 60 years, you know, on how to do this better, be better, feel better, eat better, you know. And you know, and it's not all bad stuff, but the important thing is to use the sword to feed on the word of God. Let him help us. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe." We believe it'll work effectively in us. So we need to study it and use it and practice it. Which then letter E is to meditate upon the word. Meditate upon the word. Think about God's truth and let your heart contemplate it throughout the day. You know, when we do our morning devotions, you know, spend a little time thinking about what that is and what it means to us and how that'll help us today. And just to get through life. And then when something comes up later that afternoon, almost guarantee it'll go, "Oh, I just," how many times do you hear, "Oh, I just read about that this morning." You know? And it's just so exciting to have. We visited a lady yesterday, and one of the ladies shut in, and he said, "Oh, I was praying today that somebody would stop and visit." But wow. You know, what an answer to prayer. You know, just a little thing. And yet it just meant the world to her that she'd been in prayer and church and wanting somebody to visit. And, you know, God just says, "Oh, puts on our heart to show up." Wow. And just to listening to the Holy Spirit, practice that. Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Which brings us finally here to that O word, letter E, obey the word. Obey the word. This boils down to simple obedience. We hear it, we read it, we study it, we still need to obey it. Appropriate its truth and live by it. Apply it to your life and just do it. You know, it's a daily choice to do what we know and what we read, and it's a choice to obey. You know, we get after our kids when they choose to disobey, amen? And there's correction. God will do that to us. If we're in disobedience and doing our own thing, God is going to deal with that. And it's not always pleasant. Very seldom is pleasant. But that's because he wants us to do his word and be what's in there. Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In other words, it's not oppressive. You know, you think, "Oh man, you're beating up on me again." But it, you know, it's a lamp, it's a light. It's, hey, here's the path of It's easier if you just do what he says. It's just easier. Life gets easier knowing he's with us. James 1:25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know? Yeah, I heard that, but I forgot. I mean, I've used that a lot lately. I forgot about that. But if you go do it, and you do the stuff, then you don't have to worry about forgetting because you're doing it. Just a great thought. Don't be a forgetful hearer. And we talked about that last week. That's a listener. Amen. We listen without hearing. Hearing gets it down into your heart, into your being. You know, we hear the words, then we accept them and act on them. So in conclusion, God has given us an incredible weapon for daily spiritual victory. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to teach us how to use this power. The question remaining is, what will you do with this power? We've got the power. Will we use it? He wants us to. Many Christians reason, what is one book and an invisible spirit against such strong temptations? And they're going, oh, you know, it's just a book. I've got this thing all, and, you know, I can't see what's going on. Or they might think, what is prayer or reading against such powerful circumstances? I mean, yeah, I pray, I wait, but I mean, you don't understand my situation. I mean, this terrible circumstance. Well, you know, God's overcoming that. He wants us, help us to overcome. Can't do it on my own, that's for sure. I need God to help. The deciding point in spiritual victory is your faith and what you choose to do with the power available to you from the sword of the Spirit. What am I going to do with this sword? Am I going to face my circumstances, my situation, my temptation? That's what we should do. And he's given us the tools to do it. The Word of God is powerful. The Spirit of God is powerful. Whether or not you believe it, whether or not you claim it, these things are true. Doesn't matter what we think, how we feel, the truth of God's Word is there. I'll save it a little. Okay, Ezekiel bears record of that it's possible to hear the Word of God and yet do nothing with it. You know, that's very true. We probably have that in our own lives. The next passage describes a people who said they loved to hear God's Word and even expressed a favorable response to it, but they never allowed the Holy Spirit to bring real heart change through it. They never really responded to it. Let's look at Ezekiel 33, verses 31 and 2. And they came unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness. And kind of the definition of being a hypocrite, being hypocritical. You say one thing and do the other, or don't do. That's exactly what they're talking about. Verse 32, and lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words. Then the saddest ending, but they do them not. You know, we can come sit in these pews week after week and say, oh, I just love the Word of God, and, you know, the preaching is so good, and then turn around and hate your neighbor or hate the coworker, you know. And it's just, we're not hearing. We're listening. We enjoy the singing. We enjoy the song of the Word of God being preached, but we do not do it. Kind of sad to leave it at the doors of the church. You know, we want to take it out with us. So, are you living today like the people in the book of Ezekiel? If you are, avail yourself of the power of the Spirit and the power of God's Word. Daily victory is within your reach, but it calls for a response from you. We get the choice. Act in faith and begin actively engaging in battle by His Spirit and with His sword. As you allow the Holy Spirit to engrave His Word into your heart and change your life, you become a living epistle, a walking Bible. And actually, the more we take it in, the more we walk in the light and exemplify Him. It's like speaking to people. They watch us. And, you know, they see something different and good action out there. We can be that. And I hope Nate got this. There was a change made this morning that was going to be uploaded. We'll see if they got it. Yeah, and it just hit me. And again, maybe this is obvious. This is the little teaser I gave. I was thinking of this, and I think maybe it's because of pronunciation, but it just hit me when I was going through this. You have His Word, right? Well, notice you separate the S off of His Word, and all of a sudden you get the sword. And I thought, you know, I'm going to start calling it the sword. Kathy always claims I pronounce it wrong. Anyway, I'll drive her nuts. But I just, it helps me think. It's His Word. It's the sword. You know, and I thought, what a wonderful picture that we can, His Word, you know, the sword has the Word in it. Just a really good reminder, at least to me, that His Word is the sword. Sword. Not a, I like that. Anyway, take the His Word, His sword with us. 2 Corinthians 3:2-3. Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in the tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Wow. You know, we write the Word of God, we can write it on our hearts, and, you know, it talks about hiding it in our hearts. It's great to have the Bible, and but we need to use it, we need to learn it, we need to study it. So I just encourage you this morning, use the sword. Use the sword. Ask the Holy Spirit of God to stir within you a fresh and enduring love for God's Word, the sword of the Spirit. Decide right now that a day will not go by when you don't avail yourself of the mighty power of this sword. For in so doing, you'll discover that no sin, no temptation, no fleshly desire is a match for the power of God's Spirit using God's Word in your life. Wow. Challenging words, but one that has great promise associated with it. You can use His sword and use the Holy Spirit to live a much happier, more joyful life. We're going to see that in the coming message. You know, the joy of that can overcome adversity. I don't know of a person here, I'm sure, you know, that isn't facing some adversity. And to, He's given us the tools to overcome that. Not just overcome it, but to have joy in it. That's pretty exciting. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your Word and for this lesson on the sword of the Spirit. Lord, it is Your Word, the holy Word of God, that is the sword that we can use to defeat the enemy one-on-one when he attacks us and he embattles us. All we need to do is be like Jesus and say, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written." What wonderful power in the words that You have given us. Thank You for Your Word, and just thank You. You've given us the abilities to look at it and study it and read it. And, you know, some countries even forbid it, and that's why, because evil runs rampant. But yet Your Word survives for one reason, because it is promised to be eternal. And for those that would seek You would find it. Help us to continue growing and seeking You, Lord, through Your Word and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Bless each one that came today. Thank You for their faithfulness and just for turning out. But Lord, I also just want to pray for Pastor Josh. Bear him up this morning. He hasn't been feeling well, but he has a very important message for all of us this morning, and that we can have joy that overcomes adversity. What a wonderful and desperately timely message for us to get this morning. Thank You for it. Ask Your blessing upon it all in Jesus' precious and wonderful and holy name. Amen. We're dismissed.